Welcome back, Process listeners.
Hi, Tia.
And welcome back, Ray.
Hey, it's nice to be back. I know that you missed me.
Yes. Yes, we did. We all did, but especially me. So it's really, really good to finally see you in flesh.
Here I am. Well, there's a lot of flesh. I was in the States eating barbecue, so there's more.
Oh, no.
There's more flesh.
The entire time?
The whole, pretty much. That's all I did. You know, hid in my bunker away from the Trumplandians and ate barbecue. Yeah.
Shouldn't you have been fasting? Isn't it fasting time now?
Yeah, I ate fast. That's not what you mean. Okay, that's not what you mean. But.
Well, do you know what's coming up, Ray?
No idea, Tia. I never know what you're up to. I just kind of show up and you throw things at me. So literally sometimes, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Ray, watch out. Easter.
Yes, Easter.
Around the corner.
Right around the corner. I can see it. See, it's right over there.
And this means that, sadly, we're not going to be back with a new episode next week.
I know. We're going to, like, honor a holiday.
We're going to hold a mini holiday.
Okay, cool.
In Barbados.
Well, okay, you didn't tell me that part. I'm glad I came back.
You're not coming to Barbados. Anyway.
See, I knew there was a trick here.
But the show must happen today.
Okay, let's do it.
As always, the format is, Ray.
Yes.
We start with news.
Let's do the news.
And after we do the news,
yep,
we're going to do our second segment.
Okay.
And since this is a special occasion, I thought of sort of going through Easter. Pick it apart. Because Easter, how is this a thing?
How is this a thing? There's a whole lot of questions about that. But anyway, let's do the news.
Let's do the news. So, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Which film is this from? And why are we playing this clip? Pay attention.
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Ah, yeah, they pull me back in. It's sort of like my career at the Copenhagen Post. But that's the unmistakable Al Pacino as Michael Corleone in The Godfather Part 3.
Excellent pronunciation. Mm-hmm. But why am I playing it for you right now?
Because you finally discovered you cannot do this podcast without me.
No, Ray. Well, yes, but no. It's because this song, well, not song, it's because this perfectly sums up the Danish winter. I mean, every year is the same. You put your winter coat and gloves into storage, and then 2 weeks later, the clock rewinds to February.
True that. Yes, that is very true. And it's the same with pieces we write for the newspaper, in any newspaper. Almost everyone mentions the joys of spring in the opening sentence. But by the time the issue is on the streets, it's snowing again and people are using it to stuff their boots with. So,
exactly. And I think newcomers here need to realize that Denmark is a country of two seasons.
Yeah.
Winter and summer.
Okay.
That's it. Spring.
Yeah, pretty much.
Spring does not exist, and you'll know when summer's here as you'll have a violent allergic reaction to birch pollen.
That would be me. And of course, spring and Easter are good bedfellows as they never arrive at the same time in 2 years running. They never do. No.
Exactly. And with, as we said, Easter approaching in a little over a week, this will be our last show until the festivities are over. So actually, we have to say happy Easter, podcast listeners.
Happy Easter and happy Passover as well, whenever that might be. Let's see. I'm looking. Our friend Mr. Google, April 10th through 18th this year.
Ah, yes. Passover. The Festival of Freedom, right?
Yep.
The Israelites coming out of Egypt, out from slavery and toward freedom. Did you know that Danish for Passover is Jødiske Påske, or basically Jewish Easter?
Okay. I did not know that. Normally, the Danish way of saying it like they see it is at very least, it's, you know, what, accurate. I mean, it's accurate.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's, I find it quite funny with all of these illustrative words that they have. Like, for example, nobody can deny that your gums, or tenku, literally tooth meat. Well, at least Hannibal Lecter would certainly agree.
Yeah, I wrote an article about this for the Post one time. It's online. And you know, your refrigerator is a cool escape, a cold cabinet. And, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer would agree with that.
Oh, yeah, the serial killer, right?
That's right.
What was it that he did again?
Well, he was very careful about preserving his victims' body parts, particularly the skeletons.
Oh, right. Okay, now I get your fridge joke. You see that? Come on, that's dark. Okay, back to Jewish Easter.
Oh, Jewish Easter.
Jewish, yeah, exactly. What am I saying? Jewish Easter. That's probably as accurate as translating a bar mitzvah into a Jewish sweet 16 party, or maybe a bagel into a Jewish polo mint.
That would be a big mint. Exactly. Next, you'll be telling me that the Danish for Yom Kippur, or the Jewish Day of Atonement, is Moses Sings the Stones.
I can't get no of that action. I can't get no. Definitely.
Nice. Well, I think Jewish Dia de los Muertos would be a more accurate description. But dear podcast listeners, of course, we don't want to conjure up any anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic sentiment here. Let's just say that Passover...
A blessed relief after the plague of frogs, unless you're French.
Yeah, so both the Passover and the original Easter... No chocolate for Jesus, although it is rumored that Mary Magdalene shared her egg.
Oh my God.
Were a couple of rare wins on what has been a trying journey to the promised land.
Easter, of course, marks the end of the fasting of Lent, which explains why we eat so much chocolate. And in some countries, that is almost the only thing that they do.
Yeah, in Denmark, there's a very curious Easter tradition that underlines that. Although the Danes have unique celebrations, some of the detail can be found in the traditions of other countries. Like the dressing up at Fastelavn, and visiting homes for candy is very similar to Halloween, right?
Good point. And making a bonfire on Sankthansaften is very similar to November 5th in the UK, or after a major basketball championship win in the US.
The list goes on. Denmark's tradition of sending a gekebrev is very similar to sending a Valentine's card.
Sure.
Occasionally referred to as a snowdrop letter in English, the tradition dates back as far as the 17th century.
Okay.
And this one is definitely in the spirit of April, as geke means to fool in Danish. So just like the little snowdrop flower that puts its little head up through the snow, right? Fooling winter, as if it were.
Ah, you're such a poet. And now the modus operandi. First, a decoration is made from cutting shapes off of a folded piece of paper to create a pretty symmetrical pattern when unfolded. And inside that decoration, there's a poem. It's written in there.
Yep, often including the words... Mit navn der står med prikker. Pas på det, det ikke stikker. My name is written in dots. Careful, they don't sting.
Man, you really are a poet today. Beautifully said. The poem is then signed with dots instead of letters, and each dot represents a letter in the sender's name, and then it's sneakily dropped into the mailbox of the unsuspecting recipient.
And if they are unsuccessful in guessing the creator of the gekebrev, they are obliged to give them a chocolate Easter egg.
And it's worth noting that the dots do not have to represent your name. You could choose a title that reflects your relationship with a recipient, like granddaughter or niece, or even stalker. You get a lot of those?
Needless to say, most recipients are over the age of 80. So no.
Of course, Christianity isn't really that big in Denmark anymore, but... You would think that given recent events that many Danes would relate to the story of Easter, and particularly the betrayal of Jesus by Judas Iscariot for the famous 30 pieces of silver.
Oh, yes. And our favorite minister, Inga Støjberg,
how we love her.
Been at it again, yeah. Asking her fellow Danes to inform the authorities if the workers at their local pizzeria can't speak Danish. I mean, it's outrageous. Have you heard about this, Ray?
What?
I know.
I'm speechless. I'm never speechless.
Must hunt the foreigners exactly. Down. Report them, I say. Report them. Get a marinara.
Have you seen her uniform?
Now, after the cake episode, Starbass said that she had misjudged the Danish people. Mm-hmm. And again, they were up in arms in their thousands, as many took to social media to show their support for the nation's pizza makers.
Of course, Jesus said it himself. Blessed are the cheesemakers.
What was that?
I don't know. I was too busy talking a big nose.
I think it was blessed are the cheesemakers.
What's so special about the cheesemakers?
Well, obviously, it's not meant to be taken literally. It refers to any manufacturers of dairy products.
See, if you haven't been going on, we'd have heard that, big nose.
Hey, say that once more, or smash your bloody face in.
Better keep listening. Might be a bit about blessed are the big noses.
Oh, lay off him.
Yes, all manufacturers of dairy products are equally blessed. And following Stoiber, in the space of hours, the hashtag Enmilden Pizza Bea shut up to number one on Twitter's trending list for Denmark.
But what if Stoiber is right about Copenhagen? I hesitate to say this, but 3/4 of all cases processed at the city courts in Copenhagen and in Frederiksberg involved foreign nationals in 2016.
According to Denmark Statistik, most of the criminals come from Eastern Europe, Turkey, Somalia, Iraq, Lebanon, and Pakistan.
Grassing up foreigners for working seems a bit drastic when you consider that many resort to crime, and it makes you wonder if informer or grass or snitch or sneak are ugly words in Denmark, or whether it's just part of the collective Danish trust to sort of tell tales and tattle on one another.
Oh yeah, for example, when a documentary blows the lid on working under the table, just like TV2 did recently in a program called Illegal in Denmark. Does a viewer think, good for them, serves them right? Or do they think, well, who's going to clean my house for next to nothing now?
The media, the authorities, social media. A whistleblower has a lot of choices these days. For example, Israeli musician Alon Farber was recently informed that the Copenhagen Jazz Festival did not accept Israeli musicians due to political reasons. And he went to Facebook to raise hell.
Yeah, and naturally, hell was raised. A shitstorm followed. But there was a fairly logical explanation that will be backed up by anyone who's ever taught English to the Danes.
Okay, they're prone to mixing up the words policies and politics. And what the spokesman was referring to was the musician to their policy on not staging concerts that create security problems.
That hasn't satisfied Copenhagen's deputy mayor for culture, Carl Christian Ibsen, who's responsible for giving the festival 1 million kroner in support every year. And maybe Farber and his band will visit after all.
And finally, the Danes are not the only ones who need language lessons, because we can officially now confirm, Tia, that Danish is the hardest language to learn in Scandinavia. We can confirm that.
What? That's balderdash.
It's true. It's true. A list by the language experts at Babbel.com has confirmed what we've been defensively telling our overseas relatives all these years, along with, well, you know, everyone here speaks good English and nobody gives us a chance to practice.
Yep. While Norwegian and Swedish ranked as the easiest languages for Anglophones to learn, Danish, despite its Germanic roots, didn't make the top 9.
Yes. According to the quote, there's a vast array of different accents in Norway, and that is true. And therefore, more than one correct way to pronounce words, according to Babbel. Swedish, meanwhile, benefited by exposure through companies like IKEA, or as we say in Tennessee, IKEA.
Yes. So it's easier to learn Swedish because the chairs are called Vexio.
Yes.
Anyway, still, the U.S. government disagrees.
What a shock.
And yeah, because when doesn't it these days? It's Foreign Affairs Training Provider, the Foreign Service Institute, assesses Danish, get this, to be one of the world's easiest 9 languages. contending that it would take 23 to 24 weeks or roughly 575, 600 hours to attain a level of general professional proficiency in speaking and reading.
Okay, because Danish, it says, is as easy as Afrikaans, Dutch, French, Italian, Portuguese, Romanian, and Spanish, and of course, good old Norwegian and Swedish.
Yeah, so the next time they're in Copenhagen, guess who's going to be made to order?
I can't say that. You did that very well.
I'm not even sure if I
can. That was good. You should hear me say it. No, you shouldn't. So anyway.
So does this mean that we can expect Trump to be speaking Danish?
I think he may be already. And that could be why people understand nothing that he says. It could. I mean, I have no idea. But anyway, now we have to do our segment, and you came up with a good one, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think, podcast listeners, you should stay tuned for our Easter. How is this a thing?
How is this a thing?
Coming right up.
Don't go away. Okay, let's just roll right into it. So don't. So Tia, Easter. Why is this a thing?
Exactly. Because if you think about it, Easter as well as Christmas, and both are supposed to be religious traditions or religious celebrations, kind of has morphed into something just completely out of touch with what the traditions used to symbolize.
Yeah,
right. I mean, and this is on a global scale.
You're right about that. I can tell you that when my children were small, we did the whole Santa Claus thing with them. You know, being Americans or half American, half Danish, we did the whole Santa Claus Juleman thing. But we never...
During Easter?
No. No, see, that's a problem. Yeah, maybe that's why they're so messed up. But no, we just didn't, you know, I could not, in good conscience, explain to my intelligent children that chocolate was brought to them by a giant mutant bunny. I just couldn't do it.
Well, with good reason. Because, I mean, if you would ask anybody just off the street, or anybody really, what is Easter? Where does it come from? What does it mean?
Well, it's the most, you know, it's the most, actually the most sacred time on the Christian calendar. Most Christians, and as you know, I come from that background, they would tell you that it's actually a more important celebration by far than the birth of Christ. This is the birth of the religion itself.
Exactly. Yeah, so. Because it symbolizes the eternal life, rebirth.
The resurrection.
The resurrection that...
You know, Jesus. Roll away the stone, you know, he is not here, the whole thing. This is where it's all supposed to start. And I would contend that most people who celebrate it have no idea.
This is true. But also, let's not stray away from the fact that this is, you know, winter is ending, spring is coming,
yes, right? Exactly.
So it is also symbolizing virility, rebirth, sort of. Blooming. Of women.
I'm blooming myself. And,
yes, you are. Glowing like a pregnant
woman. Well, no, that's the barbecue again.
Sorry. Okay, but let's get back to that. And these little symbols of spring and rebirth are still kind of present in the traditions that we do today. Morphed, but present.
Okay. You're saying that they're still around then.
Yes, but... My idea was that we should take some of the strangest Easter traditions around the world and sort of try to make sense of it. Try to make sense of it as you trying to make sense of the giant mutant Easter.
I need a giant mutant bunny. Anyway, so what do you got?
So, there are a couple of really strange ones, but okay. I'm not going to stray too far away from home.
Okay.
In Eastern Europe.
Yeah. That's over there.
Central and Eastern Europe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's over there.
I can see it from here.
He pointed on a map. No, he didn't. Basically what people... Well, of course, decorating the eggs. Let's just start there.
All right, let's talk about decorating eggs.
Let's talk about the eggs first. Before I say the Eastern Central Europe traditions, eggs. They are pretty much present in American culture here as well, all over the world. People color the eggs. Why do they do that? Why?
I don't know.
Well, there's this idea, theory, that it might have something to do with Christ's blood dripping from the cross onto a basket of eggs. But why eggs?
That is really macabre, and I have no idea.
Yep, macabre is a very good word because apparently it symbolizes the tomb, the grave that he was in.
Okay, so yeah.
But I have a better theory than
that. All
right,
I knew you would. I knew you would.
Okay, get this.
Okay.
First, like all the things that precede the resurrection,
yes.
Like the Last Supper, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Most important dinner in the history of mankind.
Ever?
Nobody knows what was on the menu. What was on the menu?
Eggs.
There you go. That's my theory, at least. Anyway,
All right. So
they do color eggs in Eastern Europe too, but they do something a little bit naughtier than that.
They do something naughty on Easter, Tia?
They whip their women.
What? No, wait.
This is true. This is true. Look at this ritual whipping of girls in Moravia. You can see a picture here.
She's showing me a picture of a woman being whipped by...
Does not look happy.
No. This doesn't look like a chocolate bunny sort of thing.
They do it everywhere from Albania to Bulgaria to Latvia, Russia, Romania, Macedonia, Lithuania, you name it. And what this is supposed to do is basically sort of... you know, whip them back to good health so that they can mother more children and it's sort of, you know, it's...
So, Tia, I'm supposed to go home now tonight and tell my wife that for Easter, what I'm going to do is whip her.
Basically. But I think she's going to be happy about it. I mean, at least, as per the Polish tradition, you could fashion together a lamb for her out of butter.
A butter lamb. And whip her with the butter lamb. No, I'm not going to. You know what? I'm just
going
to...
Okay, this is going places where
let's
we
just
go.
Move off this because we're not going here.
Well,
so anyway, what else do you got?
Well, we have a similarly funny tradition in Transylvania, in the Hungarian regions, where it's not a whip,
you suck the blood out of...
No, that's exactly
I'm sorry, that's a stereotype, and I'm really sorry.
Well, you're never going to guess it, but instead of a whip, the men use a huge bucket of icy water to splash on the unsuspecting victims. Why, you ask?
I'm picturing this in my mind. You're dressed up in all your Easter finery and someone, a man... It's always a man.
Or several men, in fact.
Several men come and throw cold water on you.
There's, you know, several men standing around a woman throwing water on her. There's a bit of a sexual innuendo there as well. I mean, but
you'll notice I'm being quiet.
The idea is also, much like with the whipping, that it should reinvigorate the women, make them fresh, make them beautiful, make them ready for spring and summer to deliver babies and do the washing.
Okay. There's all kinds of ways that I'm not going to go here. You know that there's just, I'm not. Anyway, okay.
Let me just be frank. This tradition has kind of morphed into a more, sort of mild Easter version of this, meaning... The men come, they say a little poem, they have a little perfume bottle with them, they spray a little perfume on the women, and then the women in exchange give some colored eggs, and everybody smiles, and everybody's happy. So it has changed since the old times, but this is the...
Darn, because, you know, you told me off air that you're going to go home for Easter, because I was going to be looking for you on Sunday with a bucket of water, just
so... You know how annoying it is to change your clothes at least 5 to 10 times a day?
That's incredible. That's one that got by me. As you know, I spent a bit of time in Norway doing some work up there, and what's very interesting about our Norwegian friends, Norwegians are some of the most joyous, happy, fun, just great to hang around people in the world, but they have a very odd Easter tradition of their own for some reason, and as soon as I go back I'm gonna ask them why. They spend a lot of the Easter holiday watching murder mysteries and, you know,
what?
in general dark stuff on television.
Is that really a thing?
That's a thing. I mean, that's one of those things that they love to just gather the kids around after church and after whatever, and then sit down and, you know.
So it's just Miss Marple and
exactly,
Quattle
and watch the murder mysteries, watch the classics and the new ones, and, you know. You know, Easter, Die Harder with a Vengeance. I don't know. Wow. You know, it's like, you know, but it's,
I like that.
It's part of their, you know what? Yeah. And it's kind of like, in a way, it's kind of, you know, if you're gathered around the TV watching whatever, you know, I mean, it seems fine, but it seems in a way to me also very, very Norwegian. It seems, you know, the noir thing and the Danish noir, Norwegian noir, the Swedish dark. It does have that element of, yeah, we're the world's happiest people, but deep inside, we're really miserable.
But I mean, I like the tradition, but it couldn't be further away from what this actual religious holiday is supposed
exactly.
to be
it really couldn't know. But it is interesting. You know, it's funny. You know, I grew up in the States, and I remember very well my Jewish friends, you know, they would like, okay, Christmas, we got nothing, so we're going to go out for Chinese food and watch a movie. It was, you know, it's like, you know. So, you know, you just kind of make the day into something that you can fit into your lifestyle, and that's very, very Norwegian.
Well, but if you want to hear the other side, some people, though, take Easter very, very seriously.
Okay.
I mean, over in the Philippines, they it's a very common thing for them to reenact the crucifixion of Christ.
Oh, yeah. No, when you say reenact, I mean it doesn't involve nails and stuff.
There are nails involved. I mean, they're such religious devotees that basically, you know, are just sort of put up there on the cross, wail in pain. People are marching on the streets in like sweltering heat with, you know, a whip in their hands doing self-flagellation. It's absolutely crazy.
I mean, people actually engage in self-flagellation and hang themselves on crosses and reenact the entire passion of the Christ as part of the, and I use this word loosely, celebration of Easter.
You got it. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a step up from the murder mystery.
Yeah, Well, that's an entire 27 floors above the murder mysteries. But wow. I mean, okay. You know, I am, as you know, not, shall we say, a particularly religious person, but whatever, you know, makes the day important to you, I guess, is okay. And, you know, here's to our Filipino friends. I don't think I could do that. I can guarantee you that I'm not devoted to anything enough to do that.
To really do that.
Well, except maybe Bruce Springsteen. But anyway, that's another story. But
well,
I think
yeah,
we've hit on some pretty cool things here.
I think so. I mean, all over the world, of course, Easter underneath probably means the same thing, and around it there are some new traditions built, from bonfires to murder mysteries to buckets to whips to everything in between. And whatever or however you choose to celebrate it, podcast listeners, we hope that it will be a good one, right?
Yeah, Ray? if you're Jewish, celebrating the Passover, Easter, you know, whatever your holiday is, I hope it's what you want it to be and what your traditions have brought you to. You know, the traditions are different around the world, but essentially it's the same thing. At the end of the day, it's just, to me, it's just all about family getting together and eating and having a good day together.
Exactly. So we're going to be celebrating as well, because we will be holding a mini holiday.
We're
too.
Taking a holiday.
Yeah.
Also a holiday for the listeners, I'm sure. See, we're really helping you guys out. We're giving you a break. But anyway, we would be, what was, you know, you have to help me.
We're not coming back next
what
week.
What are the dates that we will be back? Because I will forget.
We will be back not next Friday, but the Friday after that, which will fall on the 21st of
okay,
April.
Okay, 21st of April. And we will have an all spanking new podcast.
Oh, there. Yes. With a bit of surprise for you, podcast listeners.
There's a surprise coming up. We're gonna bring something. You know,
or
we
someone.
Always, I'm not saying anything. Ooh. We always want to bring new things to the mix to make sure that you're enjoying yourself. But
much
Tia,
like us, the Copenhagen Post will be taking a break next week as well. So no paper.
No newspaper.
But
the website will be updated. There'll be the website squirrels, moles, whatever it is that does it over there. They'll still be working and adding some new stories every day to keep you updated. That is the Copenhagen Post at cphpost.dk. And of course, the paper newspaper. And so when it snows at Easter, and it will, you'll have something probably to stuff in your boots. It'll happen. But you know what? You made a very good point off the air. You know, we're to each other, we're Ray and Tia. We know each other. But we should let the listeners know that I'm Ray Weaver and you are?
Tia Hoka.
That's right. And this is the... Now you better say it. I'll mess it up again.
This is the CBH Postcast.
That's right. And we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Happy Easter.
Bye-bye. Thank you.